Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back here to another great episode we have of Suspense Radio One-on-One here on Sunday mornings, and that is in partnership with PartnersInCrimeTours.net, a great organization that helps out authors get out there to different blog sites, radio sites like ours, to find new fans and find new readers. Today's author we are going to have is author Carrie Baldwin, talking about her latest book, Confession. So 30 minutes, sit back, relax, because Suspense Radio One-on-One starts right now.
Welcome to my nightmare. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
So here we go, everybody. We are so excited to be with you. We want to thank all of you wherever, whenever, and however you are listening to Suspense Radio One-on-One. Again, we want to thank you for that. Check out suspensemagazine.com for a lot more information. We're jumping in right now to our author. Her name is Carrie Baldwin. She is the author of the book called Confession. She is a romantic suspense writer. However, Confession is a little bit on the darker side. So we want to thank Carrie so much for coming on. Carrie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, John. Thank you so much for having me.
So Confession is the book that just came out. It's a little bit different than what you've normally written, so you decided to go into a little bit different way. Give us a little understanding about Confession and why you kind of decided that this was the right time to maybe bring out a book like this.
Okay, well, I think I'll start with the second part of that question first. Because it was kind of an interesting experience. I have been writing more what I would call straight romantic suspense, and this particular story was really fascinating to me. I really wanted to write this story, and when my agent submitted it, she actually submitted it to a romantic suspense line, and an editor from HarperCollins called me and said, you know, Carrie, I don't really think you're a romance writer, I really think you're a suspense writer, and I really think this is a suspense, and how would you feel about, you know, moving into one of our suspense lines and writing this book as a suspense with romantic elements? And I kind of had an aha moment there, and I was like, you know, she's really right. I really am more of a suspense author. And so that was kind of how that shift was made for me, was really an editor kind of recognized it and helped move me into a different direction.
So then Confession is a little bit different than what you've, you know, typically been writing. And give us a little bit about the book that's maybe not on the back cover, so people have an idea of exactly, you know, what you're writing, exactly what the book is.
Sure, exactly. Well, this whole story is the story of Faith Clancy, who is a young psychiatrist. She's very bright. She's fresh out of Yale. She's kind of self-made, pull myself up by the bootstraps kind of a person. And the whole book was based around the what if question. What if you were a brand new, wet behind the ears psychiatrist and you're sitting alone in your office with your patient, and they confess to you that they're a serial killer, what would happen? And so the entire story sprang up from that what if. And so the book deals with how this young psychiatrist, who's kind of an ordinary person, she's not a police officer, she's not a detective, and she's thrust into the middle of this serial killer case. And so it's her story of how she deals with that and what happens to her. And then the second part, second piece of that story is really that it's also a killer's story. And
no pun intended,
what if,
right?
Right. So the second part of how this story developed is trying to figure out what kind of a problem would a serial killer have that would lead them into a psychiatrist's office, and what would be the worst possible scenario for that serial killer and that psychiatrist. So in this case, the serial killer, in fact, has a compulsion to kill in a very specific way that involves a lot of blood, but because of some very difficult past traumas, something comes up in his life is turned upside down, and he's suddenly afraid of blood. So this has really put a kink in his plans, and the irony of it and the difficulty of it is that once his psychiatrist cures him of this fear of blood, he's going to kill her, and he's going to go out and resume killing again. So it's a very difficult, high-stakes situation, and there's a lot of conflict, there's a lot of twists, and a lot of surprises. I don't want to tell you too much more about the plot because it is very twisty.
So, but in relation to the characters, and there's always some, and when you're going from romantic suspense into more of a dead thriller genre, you're going to have to put your mindset and you're going to have to put your characters into, you know, into a totally different kind of realm. What was the challenge for you in doing that when writing Confession?
You know, I think the challenge for me is the same as it is any time I write a character, and that is I want a character that is relatable. I don't want a character who is perfect. I want a character who is flawed, who has lots of troubles. I want to throw troubles at them. I want to find out how are they going to deal with these problems. And the most important thing to me is that the character be flawed and that they have, that they're not perfect, people can relate to them, and that they make mistakes during the course of the book, that they grow over the course of the book. And I actually think that's true whether you're writing romance or whether you're writing literary fiction or whether you're writing suspense. I believe a good character has to be flawed and relatable.
And then jumping from basically romance and into a more, a lot darker kind of book, even though romantic suspense, it has elements of darkness. It's just not quite as dark. When you decided this is the route that you were going to go, did you make any kind of conscious efforts to make sure that fans of your romantic suspense work knew this is something completely different than I've ever written before, so they had an understanding, hey, you know what? Carrie's going into a totally different way. We need to kind of, you know, check out what she's doing.
I did try to put I tried to, in the packaging of the book, I tried to make that very clear. For example, if you look at the back cover blurb of the book, there's very minimal mention of the male protagonist or the male love interest. At the very bottom of the blurb, it says she has to work with a powerful adversary, Luke Jericho, who is, in fact, our male protagonist in the book. But other than that, he's not even mentioned in the blurb. And the blurb really talks about Faith and about her journey as a psychiatrist, about the serial killer. And it doesn't really, it barely acknowledges that Luke is even present in the book. And in addition to that, if you look at the cover of the book, I tried to make the focus of the book Faith. You don't see a couple, you know, kissing or hugging
right.
on the book, but you see Faith looking through a piece of shattered glass. And I'm hoping, you know, that that really conveys it. We've labeled the book and marketed the book as a psychological thriller, which, in fact, is what it is. It's a very dark psychological thriller with romantic elements. So I'm hoping that that's communicated through the packaging and through the blurb.
Yeah, and that's what you can definitely see when you go on their website. And, again, Carrie's website is Carrie baldwin.com for a lot more information to find out about the books, not just Confession, but all of her works. And let's go into Faith. Faith Clancy, she's the character that you picked to kind of be your foreperson into this new genre of writing for yourself. Why? Why is Faith that person that you trusted that much in order to take your writing to this level?
It's very difficult to say where story ideas come from and where characters come from, but I will be honest and say that although Faith is definitely not me, people ask me that, oh, you used to be a clinical psychologist. Is Faith you? No, Faith is absolutely not me. But I think that she does represent just a fascination that I have. So she shares a fascination that I have for the human mind. And so because this is a dark exploration of the human mind, she was the perfect person to explore that with me. And again, I needed her to be flawed. She's very imperfect. She has parts of her character that are somewhat immature at the beginning of the book, and I'm hoping that the reader will really watch her grow and learn as she interacts with other very flawed people and very intense people in the book, as she interacts with these people and as she interacts with the male protagonist, Luke Jericho. She really learns a lot, and she grows a lot, and she changes as a person. And I think I trusted her in part because she was young, and I could allow her to grow in a more believable way. I think if I had had, for example, a much older or experienced psychiatrist playing the role of the heroine, I would have felt less comfortable with having them be in that kind of naive, starry-eyed place in the beginning of the book and then really learning and growing over the course of the book. I would have liked to have seen a character, if they were older, have already achieved that level of maturity. So she matures over the course of the book.
And always there's characters that when you sat down to write, you kind of had an idea of, you know, what your story was going to do, characters that were going to be involved. You know, you're kind of writing them. But then there's always one that creeps up on you, maybe when you look back after the book or while you're writing it, you're like, wow, this character had a lot more say than I thought they were going to do. They just kind of creeped up on me. Did that happen to you? And if so, like, which character in the book do you feel took on that role?
I would say that there were actually two secondary characters that I brought them in to one scene, and I kind of had an idea about who they were. They came in on a basis of consulting with Faith. When they showed up in the scene, they're in very few scenes in the book. They didn't take over the book, but they definitely took over the scene of the book that they were in. Those characters are Caitlin Cassidy. And Caitlin Cassidy is a forensic psychiatrist who's come in to help Faith, because Faith is not a forensic psychiatrist. And the male is actually Atticus Spencer, but he's called Spence, and he's actually an FBI profiler who's come in to help the police investigate this. And they appear for a very brief moment in time in the book, but they really have very strong personalities, and in fact, they're going to become the leads for my next book, which was titled Labyrinth, but now apparently is going to be called Judgment. So they've actually become characters in the upcoming book that I'm writing.
Yeah. So you're making Faith. This is going to be a series. This is something that you're going to keep going on with. That you had so much fun. Of course, everybody always does in the suspense genre when they write it. That you're going to now make this into a series. Yeah.
Correct.
And that's the one thing that I find fascinating, that you discovered something you never knew you kind of had in you. And you never knew you had these kind of stories in you. You were writing a lot more romantic suspense. And now all of a sudden you find something else. How was that kind of epiphany? I mean, how did you feel when you were done and you were like, wow, I did it, and a lot of people really like it?
Well, first of all, I have to say I'm extremely just you know, thrilled with the response that I've gotten from people. People have been very, very supportive and very positive about the book. And I was actually a little bit afraid that some of my, the small number of readers that I carried over from romance were going to be very unhappy because of the small amount of page time that the love story gets in the book. But I didn't get that response. They were all very excited about the plot, or at least the ones that gave me feedback. And, of course, not everybody is going to respond positively to a book. I definitely have people who say, you know, this story is not for me. I don't like the romantic element. I have other people that will say, this is way too plot-driven. It's too dark. You know, where's the romance? I need more page time for the love story. I need more sex, you know, and other people are like, oh, my goodness.
Well, we all need
sex.
That, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. We all need that, right? We all need a little love in our lives. But so you can't please everyone. And I think that for me, it's more about learning to please myself when I'm writing. And it's not really about whether you want to pigeonhole this book as suspense with romantic elements, suspense, a romance, romantic suspense. It's about this story, and I really have kind of learned, I hope, through this book, that it's okay for me to write the kind of story that I want to write, and I don't have to worry about what label is going to be put on it, and I don't have to worry about every reader loving it, because I know they will not. I know that there are going to be readers out there who enjoy my voice and enjoy my stories, and I'm writing for them. I'm writing for myself. I'm not writing for the person that, if this isn't their story, that's great. They have other stories that are for them. So I can't write to please everyone. I have to write to please myself and to please my readers.
Exactly. And now you have a whole new fan base of readers in the genre. So how's you been going on tour now with Partners in Crime and doing more blog sites and maybe more radio shows and things of this nature? What have you noticed in the difference between your romantic fans and now more of the thriller suspense fans that you're now picking up?
I need to think about that for a second. I think that the suspense fans are definitely more focused on the twist in the story. And I get many fewer comments such as, oh, my goodness, I loved the hero. You know, I don't get that nearly so much. I get a lot more comments about the plot. I didn't see that twist coming. I can't believe that that happened. I sucked in my breath at this particular moment. And I'm really getting definitely much more interest and feedback on the plot itself, and especially on the twisting part of the plot, which if I can, I'll just want to give a shout-out to my editor at Harper Collins, because she really is the one who she was just tremendous to work with. Chelsea Emmelhans, what she helped me with in the process of writing Confession, she really helped me put what I hope is the right amount of information in the book for the reader to be able to figure it out and yet not figure it out. And as I was turning in the drafts and we were going through revisions, she kept telling me, you need to give the reader more information about what's going to happen and how this is really going to turn out. And I kept saying, but Chelsea, if I do that, they're going to know what's going to happen. And she said, no, just believe me. You need to get more information in here. It's not going to give it away, I promise you. And she seems to be right. I'm getting I have had no feedback that there was too much information, that they couldn't, you know, that they figured it out right from the beginning. No, I haven't had any response like that, nor have I had the response, hey, that's no fair, you didn't give me enough information, there's no way I could have figured it out. So I think it's been really amazing to work with Chelsea over at HarperCollins, and I think she's just an amazing editor, and that was really a big growth experience for me, to learn how to get the right amount of information into the book for the reader and yet still have surprises.
Yeah, you're definitely getting a much different, not really different, it's kind of different advice, just because, you know, the readers are much different. The one thing that we've always noticed is that romantic writers are extremely loyal, and, you know, and sometimes on the fact, I mean, they're just kind of nutty with their writing sometimes, and if you mess with them, it's kind of like watching, I guess, any kind of, you know, show that they invest a lot of time in. They don't like to feel, you know, cheated, where suspense readers are a little bit different on that side. I mean, they're not quite as rabid with their, with their authors. They love the plots and they love the characters, I think, more than anything else. So, yeah, it is fun kind of right. seeing both sides of it now. Yeah,
and
so
I think
good.
That's very true. There are some rabid fans out there, romance fans, and we like rabid fans, but also each book needs to be a challenge for the reader, and at the same time, each book needs to be satisfying for the reader. So for
right.
me, you know, the plot is essential, although. Coming back to that, no matter how great your plot is, no matter how many surprises you have in there, no matter how perfectly you balance the surprise with the information that you're giving for the reader to figure it out, if you don't have a character in there that people can really care about and really want to know what's going to happen to this character and want to be on, if you don't want to go on a journey with that character throughout the book, it doesn't matter how great your plot is. You have to have the character element in there as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think, and that's one of the things that I always try to mention. It's like character-driven books, plot-driven books, because some authors are different, and it always seems to come back to character-driven ones are the ones that seem to have, I guess, more stay on the shelf than just the plot ones. And I think that that's true, and I see that a lot more in a lot more of the writing. So I find that interesting, and I love to see an author kind of switching genres, and you're kind of seeing the same thing. Because there's been a lot of different authors, you know, I'm sure you know, Alison Brennan and Erica Spindler
yes.
and Lisa Gar. I mean, you know, these are all romantic kind of authors that are now very successful in the thriller genre. So have you talked to any of them and gotten any advice on, hey, these are the things that you're going to come up against now that you've jumped into this thriller suspense genre?
Well, you know, actually, I have had the opportunity to meet both Alison Brennan and Lisa Gardner fairly recently. Lisa Gardner, I attended the Writers Police Academy, which is put on by Lee Laughlin on a yearly basis, and last September I attended the Writers Police Academy. And it was kind of great because I had been reading a Lisa Gardner book on the plane on the way over, and then I went to my little small session where they were telling us what to do. I was going to get to go on a police ride-along, which was a great experience for me. And so Lisa Gardner was also at the Writers Police Academy, and she was waiting to go on her police ride-along. And so I was able to talk to her a little bit about the book that I had been reading. And one of the things that we did very briefly discuss, because we didn't have a lot of time, but we did talk about the fact I was telling her about one of her characters, JT, who appeared in the book Catch Me, which is the book in question that I had been reading on the plane. And I said, wow, I was so thrilled to see JT, and I'll never forget when I met JT in The Perfect Husband. And Lisa made the comment, well, you know, that was one of my very early books where I was moving from romantic suspense more toward suspense. And she talked a little bit about, you know, the difference between her books now and that very first book that was kind of moving her in that direction called The Perfect Husband. But to be honest, I didn't ask her that. I didn't say, hey, I'm writing this book, and what was your experience? But I was more interested in listening to what she had to say about her process. And she's just a very fascinating and very personable, very lovely, down-to-earth person. So I really enjoyed getting to
meet
her.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah.
And then recently,
and that's a good thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's great. And then Alison Brennan, I recently was able to attend just one of her workshops at the Desert Dreams Conference, which is actually a romance writers conference, and I was able to speak with her a little bit after the conference as well. And Allison has just been a tremendous supporter of authors in general, and she is Allison is a member of RWA, and she does participate in especially in discussions when it comes to is there a place for suspense authors at RWA, which is the Romance Writers of America group. Mm-hmm. So Allison has been, I think, very active in that organization, but it is difficult. You know, where when you're I don't compare my books to Allison Brennan, but I would compare my target reader to Allison's target reader, if that makes
right.
sense. And I think it is sometimes hard for writers who are writing primarily suspense and plot-driven, but they have a little bit of a romantic element or a love story in there. It's hard to know where your place in the world is. You know, where do I fit in? Am I supposed to be over here at Thriller Fest, or, you know, where am I supposed to be? And I've never been to Thriller Fest, and now I'm really dying to go. So that's, you know, next on my list to my next opportunity to attend Thriller Fest. I hope to do that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's a fabulous organization, and we go every year, and we love Thriller Fest. Of course, it's in New York, and we always promote it because the ITW is one of the greatest organizations for writers out there that I've ever seen. And so now that you are an ITW member, that's great, and you definitely have to get going over there. Can't miss out.
I know. I need to head over there. But, yeah, there's a lot of authors that have made that transition. One of the most successful ones is Tess Gerritsen. So, you know, there have been a lot of people who have taken this path before me, and I would be very fortunate, you know, to follow in their footsteps. So.
Yeah, Tessa's great too. We've known her for about 7 years now, and she's a fabulous one also. So you've got some great ones to go on, and we wish you nothing but the best. And we want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing the story of Confession, and you know just your story as an author and how everything has worked out for you up now to this point. Looking forward to seeing what you got coming in the future now.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right, kid. You have a good one, and we'll talk with you soon.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So again, everybody, that is author Carrie Baldwin. You can go to carriebaldwin.com. C-A-R-E-Y is her first name, carriebaldwin.com. The book is called Confession. It is now, as you heard, the first now that's going to be in a series of her Faith Clancy character, which is a psychiatrist. An outstanding read, an outstanding author, one that you definitely have to check out. And it's great to see making the leap here from a little bit romantic suspense into the thriller genre, and we always love to see those things because, of course, suspense thriller is what we love. Well, we want to thank everybody again for joining us. We appreciate it. Go to suspensemagazine.com. Email over to radio@suspensemagazine. We send you it out. We'll give you the magazine. We'll send it out to you, let you read it, enjoy it, see what you think. And we just check out everything that we got going on here in Suspense Radio between Crime and Science Radio, Stranger Than Fiction, and, of course, the main show, Suspense Radio, which is on every other Saturday. So until next time, everybody, we want to say thank you and enjoy, and we will catch you on the other side.